are rolling here at the 2017 REACH Conference in beautiful Palm Desert. And look who came into the studio lounge, Sue Schroeder and Melton Knight from Experian. How are you guys?
Awesome. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. Exactly. It's another beautiful day. Perfect. Did you guys catch the sunrise this morning? I mean, my room faces east, and I saw that sunrise over the mountain and went, oh my gosh. And, well, basically woke me up.
It's actually very nice. I did catch it this morning.
It was gorgeous. It was really beautiful. Beautiful. And the topic of your guys' presentation was driving membership and loan growth with data. Now, Sue, can you give us a couple of key insights from your talk?
Sure. So first, we broke our presentation up into three parts. Mm-hmm. There was the who, which really laid the groundwork of California and Nevada credit unions and community banks. Mm-hmm. Where's the share play? Mm-hmm. And the what and the how, which Melton will talk about. Okay. As it relates to that first part, what we really wanted to do is make sure that we tailored it to the California and Nevada League. Okay. And examined how are they doing as it really relates to growth, profitability areas. Mm-hmm. Few things that came to mind. Number one is, they're not deploying enough of their deposits into loans. And for that, they earn their interest on interest income. And so while credit unions aren't for profit, with fintechs and other banks in space, you need that additional dollars to invest, whether it's technology, it's your core system, it's in people. So that would be one area, is how do they get to deploy more of their deposits into loans? Then we looked at their loan composition. So on average, it was about 70% auto and mortgage. So if one of those from economic factors, if you think the auto market may soften, where do they go? How do they diversify to be more risk resistant? So we talked about that, and they had some interesting take share opportunities versus the community banks and some of the others to drive yield on unsecured loans, student loans, small business. And then the final area was on the efficiency costs. They are working with small staffs, but their costs are very high. So how do they operate faster? Members love them, but they need to go find more. And so when you think about how to drive more membership growth, people make decisions in seconds. Yeah. And so how do they operate to compete? And we really, the headline on this was, how do you win? And it tied in beautifully with what Jim and Kuna was saying at the onset, and this whole, how do I grow share? How do I grow members? Mm-hmm. And then Melton took it from there.
Just to sort of continue with what Sue's saying, I think, you know, as we sort of, you know, moved into the what and the how, for us in working with credit unions across the country, the what becomes, what additional information can you learn about your members? Obviously, we have great insight into our members based on how they perform with us at the credit union. But the insight that I think is additionally provided is, includes things like how many other trade lines you have elsewhere. Are you in the market for a credit union trade versus a bank trade? Mm-hmm. Insight that helps them to position the right offer for the member at the right time. Mm-hmm. The what was more about the incorporation of that information into the process. Mm-hmm. And then we moved into the how. And the how was really the most important, or the key component, which is, how do I take that information and turn it into actionable strategies? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the comments that was made in the opening session was, growth is winning. So if you're going to continue to grow, then you're going to continue to win. And so opportunity to grow through expanded marketing efforts, expanded communication efforts, very specific types of product offerings to members, again, at the right time when they're in the market for the product. So I think from our perspective, that gave the participants, those folks who were in the session, a few of, you know, the key nuggets of information they need to try to incorporate into their processes going forward.
So, what takeaways did you guys get from, or what do you want to give to your audience that attended it? What do you want them to take back to their credit unions and use right away? Was there anything that they could use right away?
Yes, I think there's a couple of things. I think one is that they really need to take a look at their current field of membership and find out, okay, what is my loan mix today? You know, am I heavily reliant? Am I so heavily reliant on auto that if that market softens, am I at risk? How many of my field of membership is students, potentially? And is there an area to expand there? So I think as they start having those kind of conversations, it's, do I go after diversification of loan portfolio first? Do I need to drive membership growth? And if so, then what are my strategies and how do we communicate it? At the end of the session, actually, we provided, and we do a lot of thought leadership and work with industry experts to bring that forward to help educate. Because so many of these credit unions have spoken to us that they're strapped for resources and time. We try to bring that to them. And so we had several thought leadership pieces that they were able to take back with them. Mm-hmm. The hope would be if they can get one conversation going to think about, to Melton's point, winning for 2018. There's plenty of share to be had. They just need to figure out what's right for their field of membership.
It sounds like this data allows them to prioritize as well.
Correct.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And to sort of follow on that, I mean, I think that if I could quickly identify one key takeaway, don't take for granted the affinity that your members necessarily hold with your credit union. We're sort of moving to that next plateau of membership, which includes millennials. Our millennials have a different attitude toward their relationships in general and how they want to be spoken to and how they want to be communicated with. So if you understand the different attitudes, behaviors, how they manage their credit, then you understand that not necessarily all of the millennials are your market. But you do have a better insight into which ones are.
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's where the data, again, the data reveals all. Oh, my gosh, it's data, data, data.
Yeah.
It's all about these days now.
Well, it's interesting, too. Because
we've always had it.
Right, exactly. It's one of the things that we wanted to make sure we conveyed was that this was not intended to be a sort of a big data discussion.
Right.
It is intended to be a session that is very prescriptive in terms of the types of data that we can gain the most benefit from in the short term.
Taking it to another level, it sounds like. Yeah, definitely. Because we can talk data all day long, but how do you analyze it? There's predictive at all this. Oh, my gosh. We can go all over the place. So what is the importance of all of this right now?
Can you expand on that a little bit?
What's the importance of prioritizing? My take is that you're able to prioritize. You're able to focus on a certain segment of your membership.
That's what I'm taking from all this.
Agreed. We do a lot of market research with credit unions and with consumers. And when we interviewed credit unions of various asset sizes, it fundamentally came down to, I'm strapped for resources. I'm strapped for time. With regulatory costs going up, I have more back office than front office.
Right.
Help me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. I mean, in our session, we had a CEO of a $27 million credit union. We had CEOs of multi-billion dollar credit unions. Their needs are very different. So the way we approach it is we've got a segment as well to provide the right help where we can. Yeah. But the credit union themselves is they've got to think about, am I nimble? And how can I approach it? And so it's a resourcing issue.
I like that point. Yeah, everybody is different. And so it's almost like it's almost customized in a bit.
It is.
In a sense, yeah. Right.
Very
cool. I would also say the other thing that's universal across all sizes is that, and Sue mentioned this, the ability to control expenses. So if I can have a very targeted, very specific type of communication and campaign, I can reduce my expenses to acquire a new membership.
No doubt. And that's what we're all want to acquire new folks. That's for sure. Because there's so many, as we say, disruptors out there that are shaking things up. You got the SoFis out there doing this stuff and PayPal. And gosh, who knows what PayPal's doing these days? My gosh, it's everywhere. So where do we what's the next step here? Where do we take this?
You know, I think it's for us, I think it's an ongoing commitment. You know, we have a whole team that all they do day in and out is credit unions. And it's continuing to partner with credit unions. It's a cooperative industry. So it's sharing those best practices. It's really listening and understanding what that particular credit union, whether they're a SEG or a community or a state charter, whether they're looking to reach the underserved. So on our end internally, I think part of the takeaway is making sure that we meet them where they are at and finding solutions that are right-sized.
Right.
You know, Melton works with clients, whether they are off the shelf or it's custom strategies. Mm-hmm. And for me, our team internally, what we're trying to do is continue to find insights from consumers. Mm-hmm. We really have a passion for the consumer. And the more insights we can parlay to the credit unions, then they can make those next best choices from there on.
It's such a moving target. It's always changing. Always changing. Melton, anything? Any final words, sir?
No, I guess, just quickly to kind of sum, what we've said is, we always want to be on that frontier. We always want to make sure we're hearing the voice of the customer. And being able to anticipate their needs rather than being reactive.
Proactive.
If we can be proactive in all of our dialogue with our members, they will appreciate it. We'll appreciate it, and it's a win for everyone. Yeah. So.
Great message to end on. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit. Sounds like your presentation yesterday was a smashing success, so keep up the good work. I love this type of stuff. It's so hard, though, because it's such a moving target. It's like you guys have your work cut out for you, but it sounds like you're doing a good job, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.